Court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia.
Two Dudes Perspective on Legal Frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude when I remember that.
This is our second take.
I forgot my intro.
But you almost made me forget mine, too, on the second take. I had a little pause there. I was like, wait a second. What are we doing?
It's the you know, that's the first signs that the mind is going there when you forget something that you do every week.
Well, last night, I was in traffic court.
Traffic court?
Yep.
Last night?
Last night. A lot of times, traffic courts in these different little municipalities, they hold their traffic courts at night because the lawyers and whatnot, they actually have...
jobs.
Real court, earlier in the day, and doesn't interfere with other court times. So
they do it at night?
They do it at night. It makes it easy for people that have jobs to come at night and pay their tickets or do whatever.
Do you get paid overtime for that? That's after hours, isn't it?
I don't. I don't think most attorneys do either. It's just it's just more hours that you bill. So
you went to night court.
I went to night court.
Did you see Harry Anderson, the judge?
I did not.
Or Bull, the bailiff? Did he have to throw you out or anything?
I did not see Dan Larroquette or Margie Post either.
Hey, you know, my dad once met Dan Larroquette.
Really?
Yeah. And that's
his claim to fame?
Yeah, he met
Hello,
him.
Oh, I'm Dan Smurl. I once met Dan Larroquette.
Yeah, I can't remember what the circumstance was, but he told me about it. He was somewhere, and the guy was there, and Dan Larroquette is from New Orleans, and part of my dad's family's from New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So they had some in-depth talks about old New Orleans.
Oh.
Where they grew up. But
I'll have to ask about it next time I see him.
Yeah, Dad came home and said, you know this guy that's on this show called Night Court? He didn't know. I mean, he didn't really know anything about the show, but they had introduced him and talked about him on there. So, did you know about this guy? Yeah, I know about him, Dad. I watch TV.
This is back in the 80s?
Yeah, probably back in the 80s, yeah.
That show's actually pretty old.
It's a good show, though.
It's funny.
In its day.
Harry Anderson, didn't he pass away not too long ago?
Yeah, he died in the last couple years, I believe.
Yeah. This night court generally is very informal. The municipal judge rarely wears a robe. And it's usually traffic.
Is he naked? He's a naked judge? That doesn't seem right.
No, they just wear normal lawyer clothes.
Normal people clothes.
Yeah.
No wig or anything.
No wig or anything like that. And the only kinds of charges they handle are what they call like city infractions, which are usually like speeding tickets. It can be non-serious DUIs as far as like misdemeanors, but there's no felonies. It's usually only misdemeanors and traffic tickets. Hmm. But one lawyer once told me, and I always thought this was kind of a funny thing that always stuck with me, is that you can't be a real lawyer unless you know how to get someone out of a traffic ticket. Like, that's the barometer to determine if you are a real lawyer or not. Like, if you're a corporate lawyer and don't know how to get out of traffic tickets, I'm sorry to tell you, you are not a real lawyer.
Well, there you go.
You can take all that money you make being a rich corporate lawyer and pay somebody who is a real lawyer to do your dirty work for you. So there you go.
I guess a lot of people, more often than not, represent themselves, don't they?
They do, yeah.
I mean, because you're talking about a traffic ticket that's maybe on the expensive side, $100 or $200, and no, so you hire a lawyer and...
They can get a bit more pricey.
Really? Well, I mean, it depends on what you're doing, but...
Well, but you got to think as well, too, if you have multiple tickets, the points can add up
and
get suspended. Yeah. Or alternatively, if it's on your insurance and you don't want to have it, I mean, the cost of your insurance going up over a period of time can justify the cost of hiring a lawyer to go do it for you. So...
Yeah, I've never challenged one. I just paid them begrudgingly.
So they happen all the time. I mean, traffic tickets are probably the most common interaction people have with the police, I would say. They aren't, like you said, they aren't really super costly, but they can increase your insurance. And like I said, if you get enough of them, they could possibly suspend your driver's license. So when you get a ticket, there's two different things you can actually do once you get the ticket. And usually there are instructions on there. You can either sign it and pay the fine and send in a check or whatever. When you're basically admitting your guilt. And then you'll get the points on your license or whatever. Or alternatively, you can request a hearing. And that's what this was last night, and that's generally what whenever an attorney goes to court for someone, it's because they've requested a hearing on it. Basically a trial. A little
so you
trial.
Were representing a speeder?
Kind of.
Okay. So, and they wanted to contest whatever the citation was they received.
Yes. It was a bit of a crazier story than that, which I probably can't get into the details of it too much because it's a little too fresh.
Oh, man, I want the details.
But, yes, it involved a traffic ticket. So,
Well, I always figured that the biggest reason you would challenge one and go to court is that you're hoping the cop doesn't show up that wrote you the ticket.
Now, that can happen.
Because if he doesn't show up, you get excused. You get it excused, don't you?
Well, I mean, that can happen. I've seen them just dismiss the case because the cop's not there. But also I've seen instances where the officer doesn't show up and you ask to dismiss the case and the judge will say, no, I'm going to go ahead and continue it. Hmm. I say, well, I'm here. I'm ready to go. Well, that's when they usually give you some sort of line like, well, if you couldn't be here, I would have continued it for you. So I think it's only fair that I continue it for them as well. Which is kind of a load of BS if you think about it.
Yeah, if you didn't show up, they'd say you owe it.
Yeah, they would just basically say, okay, guilty.
Yeah.
On to the next one.
That's right.
But you can't really tell a judge that to their face.
Are you telling me the judges and the cops are on the same side?
Possibly.
Man, you learn something new every day. It's a rigged game. We don't have a chance.
So it's almost always better to request a hearing because usually you can get something worked out that's going to be a little bit better than what if you just pay the ticket, for the most part. Now, sometimes they include court costs, and this is something, again, that depends on state-by-state basis, but they can include court costs. And I know, actually, in Florida, if you request a hearing, then you're no longer eligible to do a driver improvement course and have points taken off your license.
So they're penalizing you for requesting the trial.
A little bit, yeah. But I'll get into a bit more of that here in a few minutes.
Wow, that's very vengeful and vindictive.
Now, I've talked about points quite a bit already. And if you're not familiar with what points are, most states have some sort of traffic point system that assigns a different point value to different kinds of traffic offenses. So the more serious the offense is, the more points you get for it. And the points add up and they accumulate. And if you get over a certain amount, they'll suspend your driver's license. And then they fall off after, like you lose so many points after so long. So they kind of drop off too. So it's kind of a way of keeping track of your infractions and suspending your license if you're kind of a bad driver.
Yeah, I think in West Virginia, at least it used to be that it took 5 years for the points from a violation to drop off.
I believe that's right. And the other thing is, too, is if you have points in your license, that's when the insurance usually will go up a little bit.
Yeah, when I was a young man and in a hurry, I was within 3 points of losing my license at one point, and I knew I better slow down.
Yeah, I'd say so. So some of the points which are assessed, I'm looking here at this little flyer in West Virginia. The big value, the big ticket item here is fleeing from an officer. That'll get you 8 points.
Well, it should be the full house. You should get your license removed. You don't flee from officers.
Speeding in a school zone, 6.
That needs more.
I think that should be 8, and the fleeing from an officer should be 6.
Fleeing from officer should be whatever the excessive amount is that gets your license going.
Reckless, careless driving is 6. Hit and run is 6.
Wow.
Yeah. Speeding 20 miles per hour is 6. Speeding 15 to 19 is 5. Speeding 11 to 14 is 3. Then we get down to the little mini things like passing violations, hazardous driving, driving left of center, driving too fast for emissions. That's improper equipment. Improper equipment is actually not going to give you points.
Because that's not a moving violation.
Exactly. That's just some sort of traffic and equipment infraction, which a lot of times I've tried to argue, and with some success, well, hey, I know you got this guy for speeding, but why don't we change it to an equipment violation? His speedometer wasn't working. That's obviously why he was going too fast.
You're right.
That way, they still pay the fine. They still get a ticket, but they don't actually get the
points.
The points on it.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll bite on that. They'll say,
as long as they get their money, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that's what it comes down to quite a bit.
Well, so I've got a clean record, so I could say, give me a hit and run and one fleeing from the cops to go.
No, you would get your license suspended for that.
Oh.
Because if you have 12 to 13 points, your license is suspended for 30 days in West Virginia.
30 days? I can go 30 days taking the bus.
Now, if you get 20 or more, then basically your license is suspended until your points are reduced to below 11.
20 or more? You're a bad driver if you've got 20 or more.
Oh, I had a client. He had this is fairly recently, he had 23 points. He had had two reckless drivings in Virginia in the same day. And they were going to suspend his license. The DMV was. They sent him a letter. So I sent a letter saying we wanted a hearing on it. And so they gave us a hearing date. And it got, in the meantime, he kept got to keep his license because we were contesting it. And it got continued like two or three times. And then they set it like a year off. So this was, I contested this thing, and he probably kept his license for another year and a half.
And he was continuing to accumulate points.
No, he didn't. He didn't. He did not get any more, but he was driving. He was driving in a safe manner, evidently. And we go to the hearing, and I really don't have anything to argue. But when you got to learn, whenever you start dealing with these like traffic infractions and things like that, you kind of get a little bit, have to get a little bit crafty sometimes and come up with different kinds of arguments.
Get creative, huh?
You get creative.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way, like, you know, the defective equipment is a speedometer.
You're right.
It wasn't working right. That's why you got on speed. So,
his brain was defective.
He had had these reckless drivings in Virginia, and there was kind of a younger attorney there for the DMV. And I said, look, these reckless drivings in Virginia, what does their statute say reckless driving is there? Well, I don't know. I said, well, it's obviously not written the same as ours is here in West Virginia. So how can you attribute West Virginia points to some sort of crime that allegedly took place in Virginia? It doesn't match up. If you should give him anything, you should give him Virginia points. Virginia points for reckless driving, that's only 4 points, because I'd looked that up. Mm-hmm. And that would have pushed him right under the little 20-point thing.
Right under the limit.
Yes. And so they kind of looked at me and didn't really say anything. The hearing officer said, okay, I'll take that under advisement. Anything else to argue? I said, nope, that's it. So I left. And then I waited about a month, still didn't hear anything. My client still had his license. Waited 2 months, still didn't hear anything. Client still had his license. This is probably about a year ago. I still haven't heard anything.
Wow.
I think I blew their minds. Huh. I can't really imagine that was that novel of an argument, though.
I don't know, but isn't it true that some states have reciprocal agreements with other states? So, like, if you get a speeding ticket, say, in Montana, you'll never see those points in West Virginia because they don't have a reciprocal agreement.
Well, that's true, and most states actually do. And Virginia and West Virginia may actually have had that. Mm-hmm. They could have said, well, there's a reciprocal agreement between the states, so your argument's crap, Mr. Meadows.
Yeah, usually surrounding states.
And I would have said, okay, fair enough. I took a shot at it.
Nearby states, you would think they would have that, you know, especially with us in a tri-state area here with Kentucky and Ohio.
Yeah.
They would have that. But, you know, why would we have a reciprocal agreement with California or something like that, you know?
Now, one thing you can do, and I mentioned this earlier, is you can do a driver's improvement course in almost every state, I believe, and get points taken off. In West Virginia, it's 3 points, and you can take the class once every year.
So you can take it once every year and get 3 more points taken off?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought you could just take it once and get 3 points taken off.
No, I think it's once a year, I believe, is what you can do.
Wow, that's pretty good. So if you'd worked your way up, you could work your way back down if you were diligent and didn't get any more violations.
It would certainly help.
It's better than waiting 5 years for it to drop off.
Now, I know in Florida, actually, they limit the number of times you can take it in your life. So that's kind of a difference, more like what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But I believe in West Virginia, you can take it multiple times. I'm not sure. That's something I'd have to look at to be certain about. But I think it's the requirement is once a year is the most you can take it.
Because if you're having to go back every year, obviously what you're learning is not taken.
Exactly.
You're coming back and doing it again.
Like
haven't I seen you in here before? Yeah, a lot.
Like I said, you have to get pretty crafty with some of these arguments. One guy had a ticket that I saw pretty recently. It was for his window tint was too dark.
Mm-hmm.
And so his whole thing is that he got pulled over for the window tint. But he actually had a small amount of marijuana in the car as well. So, basically.
So that's that old fruit of the poisonous tree, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. And so they pulled him over for the window tint, and supposedly he had red glassy eyes, strong smell of marijuana in the car. You know, the kind of stuff the police officers have already written in the report before they even pull you over.
Yeah.
They just sit at home and fill that in and then mm-hmm. just, you know, could put the dates on it. So that was that kind of situation. It also took about 45 minutes for them to get the police dog there to search his car and smell, which you could argue is basically too long for a detention like that. Mm-hmm. So there were a couple issues.
So they kidnapped him. He could argue he was kidnapped.
Unrightfully detained. But here's the interesting thing. If you look at the West Virginia law about window tint, and this is an important thing for all lawyers, and most lawyers do this, I think, but if you have somebody who is charged under a certain code or certain statute, you need to read that statute before you go to court.
Well, I would agree with that. And just common sense, not being a lawyer or type or dude or anything, just common sense.
Yeah. Look at the rules before you go.
Yeah.
So the West Virginia window tint law is really strange. It says, no person may operate a motor vehicle that is registered or required to be registered in the state on any public highway, road, or street that has a sunscreening device on the windshield, the front side wings, and the side windows adjacent to the right and left of the driver windows, adjacent to the rear of the driver, that do not meet the requirements of this section. Now here's where it gets interesting. Provided that law enforcement canine and other emergency vehicles that are designed to haul animals, unmarked law enforcement vehicles primarily used for covert or undercover enforcement, and automobiles that have sunscreen devices installed at the factory by the manufacturer are exempt from this requirement. So yeah, the cops are exempt. But right, here's the last sentence.
Installed at the factory.
No. That's the next last sentence. Here's the last sentence I'm about to read. No unmarked law enforcement vehicle herein exempted may engage in routine traffic stops. So that's a West Virginia law. Basically, an unmarked police car that has the windows tinted like this is prohibited from them from pulling you over in West Virginia. Is that not amazing?
Yeah. Well, was the vehicle tinted like that?
It was. Huh. In that case, it actually was.
Well,
So, yeah.
That's strange that they put that. I mean, there has to be a reason. You don't just arbitrarily put that in there or mistakenly.
No, I mean, it's very clearly marked in there as law. I guess probably because they're exempting them from this, that they don't want them pulling people over for it. There's no reason they should be performing routine traffic stops if they have this special exemption.
Maybe they just felt it's bad. You say, I'm pulling you over for tinted windows. Well, you have tinted windows. Yeah, but I'm a cop.
Maybe so.
Maybe just felt that was bad, putting you in a bad situation.
But I thought that was a really interesting statute or West Virginia code there.
Well, I'd always heard that about factory installed, that if you had tinted windows, they were okay if they were factory installed, but you couldn't like take it to the auto, you know, soup up shop and have it installed while you put on your big rims and your jacked up, you know, axles and all that other kind of stuff they do with cars where they bounce up and down and have neon underneath them and all that kind of stuff.
Switches for the women?
For the back end.
It's a rap lyric.
I don't know that rap lyric, but I don't think you should finish it.
Probably not. So now I have a funny story about Night Court that actually had almost an experiment that was conducted.
Is Bull in it?
Bull is not in it.
Oh, man.
But before I get to that, Bull. I think we have a pending motion before the court today.
Why, yes. If it please your speedship, we would like to approach the bench to pay court costs.
And who do we have in the docket? Is it the auto soup-up shop that you mentioned?
No, they didn't come forth this week. It is our good friends back with us from Sleep Number. Now, everyone knows how important it is to get a good night's sleep. A good night's sleep can make the difference between having a good day and having a bad day. And I, for one, need good days.
I agree. Good days are not overrated. They are what it's all about.
That's right. And a good night's sleep is not overrated. It is a necessity.
And if you want good sleep, there's the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. And I'm going to tell you something. Good sleep is going to change your life.
So many couples disagree on mattress firmness. Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds let you choose your ideal firmness, as we've told you time and time again. And you can choose that firmness on each side, so it's just right for both of you.
The Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds are so smart, they sense your every move and automatically adjust to you, keeping you sleeping comfortably throughout the night. When you add a Flex Fit Smart Adjustable Base, you can also raise the head or foot of your bed for the ultimate relaxation. Partner snoring? There's even an adjustment for that.
Wow, it does it all. So come in now and save up to $1,000 on select Sleep Number 360 beds when you add a Smart Adjustable Base, only for a limited time.
And Sleep Number is ranked number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses by J.D. Power. For 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com.
You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. So visit sleepnumber.com/court and find the one nearest you.
That's sleepnumber.com/court.
And nighty-night, little buckaroos.
So there was one night in traffic court where this woman was accused of having headlights which did not burn bright enough and did not illuminate far enough.
And we're talking about the actual lights on the car, right?
That's right.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify. I wouldn't know which direction to put my mind in.
The way West Virginia Code reads is that basically, it's very kind of verbose the way it's written. But essentially, I'm going to summarize it for you. I'll give you the TLDR of it.
TLDR?
Yeah.
Too low, dirty remarks.
Too long, didn't read.
Oh.
Basically, your headlights have to shine 200 feet. Okay. If they don't shine 200 feet, you violate this West Virginia Code section. So this woman had been pulled over, and she said that her headlights were bright enough, but the ticket had said that she was violating because they weren't bright enough. She didn't really think she would have to pay. She didn't really think she had the money to pay the fine or whatnot, and she was making a lot of excuses. Here's the thing, too. She was actually being really, really rude and mean to the prosecuting attorney, the cop, and the judge. This wasn't my client.
This was in court.
This was in court, and I was sitting there watching this, and I couldn't believe it. So they actually kind of took pity on her, knocked her fine down to like $100, even though she was really being mean. So they gave her a nice break, but she said, "I'm not going to do it." So the judge said, "Okay, did you drive the car here?" And she said, "Yes." He said, "All right, we're going to take the car out to Virginia Point. We're going to put 200 feet out there, and we're going to see if your lights light it up." So, this wasn't even my case.
But you went just because you were interested.
I went just because I was interested. I had actually never seen something like this before.
It makes sense.
It was pretty fun. So, we drive out there. One of the police officers comes. He has a laser device that also has a thing that can estimate distance from it, and he's been certified on it to do whatever. So, we go out. We pull into a field, and Virginia Point is the area. I think it might be the westernmost part of West Virginia.
Yeah.
And it's where the Big Sandy and the Ohio all come together.
With Kentucky, West Virginia, and Ohio.
Yeah. If you stand on
each side.
If you stand on Virginia Point, you can see, you stand in West Virginia, you can see Kentucky and Ohio. So three states in one area. Now, there's nothing really there. It's a big park, and it's really wide open. So we pull in this one field, super dark out there.
That's a lot of important people that have a lot of extra time on their hands to do this.
Oh, yeah. This is like 10 o'clock. This is 10 o'clock at night.
That's what I'm saying.
And so they pull her car up. We pull up a couple other cars. And then the officer, he walks out and then shines his light back so he gets 200 feet. So I went out there and I had a big sign that had a huge number four written on it. And it was a piece of paper with like taking up the full 8.5 by 11 with four written on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, "Okay, are you out there?" And we said, "Yeah, we're 200 feet away." And they're like, "Okay, we're gonna have to turn our headlights on." And they were the weakest headlights I'd ever seen. I mean, they didn't light it up at all.
Oh, really?
Oh, it was ridiculous. Like, and one of them was like kind of flickering. You know, it was like, oh my god. You know, if you're gonna, it said,
"Help me."
If you're gonna come to court and make this accusation, why don't you at least change your headlights out before you come?
Well, that's what I was going to say. There had to have been a period of time between when she got this citation and when she went to court.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't she go get some new headlights in between? Headlights are not expensive.
And she evidently said, "Well, nobody's headlights can make it that far out there." And so the other prosecuting attorney, he turned his headlights on and it obviously lit it up. You can see it. So we walk back in and we go back to the courthouse, and we go back in. The judge goes back on the bench and says, "All right,
how do you plead now?"
Yeah, it's like, he said, "I'm still willing to let you pay the $100 fine, blah blah." And she was just kicking and screaming and not happy. And she's like, "Fine, I'll do it," and blah blah blah. I went ahead and did it. So here's the funny thing about, I think it was probably 3 weeks later, I was at the circuit court's office, where if you appeal something from traffic court, it goes to circuit court, and they were in there talking about, she actually appealed it to the circuit court. Because she was so just unhappy about it. But anyway, I'm sure it got upheld because, I mean, that was very telling to perform the experiment.
I thought you were going to say the 3 weeks later they went out and here was the car down over a hill, down over a cliff where she didn't see the curve because her headlights didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
I mean, in West Virginia, I don't know that you need 200 feet of headlights because there's no straight road 200 feet anywhere to put them on.
That's right.
As long as they go 20, you're good for the next curve.
But that happened probably, that was a little over a year ago, and I went to night court last night, like I said, and they actually were talking about it last night. Again, I mean, they've been talking about that story for a while. So it's not too often you have a real-life demonstration like that where you go out in the field and see how far the headlights actually shoot.
But if she was that disrespectful in court, imagine how she must have been with the officer that pulled her over and gave her the ticket at the time. She had to have just really just abused him to wonder if he didn't arrest her or something.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I'm sure she was not a nice person to the officer. Yeah, and that's one thing. That's one thing I always ask people whenever they have their traffic tickets. I was like, well, how was the officer acting towards you? If they're like, well, he was nice or she was nice or whatever, it's usually like, okay, I can work with that. Or if they say, they were horrible, they were so mean, they yelled at me, blah, 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 and we got in an argument about this. I told them, I was like, oh boy, we're not going to be able to work this one out.
Yeah.
This one's going to be one that hurts a little bit. That's when you have to charge a little bit more money, too, because it's going to be, this is not a good situation.
The one I always think about is the time when we lived in Waycross and Mary got pulled over. I don't know whether it was like running a stop sign or speeding or something like that. I don't know. It wasn't anything too serious, but the cop pulled her over and asked for her license. And she had her license from like Cincinnati from Baltimore or something. So we had moved two more times since then.
Yeah.
And she still didn't have a Georgia driver's license. And the cop said, well, this isn't a valid driver's license. Do you have a valid one? She said, well, you mean a Georgia one? And he said, yeah. And she said, no, I haven't had time to get one. We just moved here. And the cop said, well, when did you move here? She said, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he said, 2 years ago? And you haven't had time to get a license? And she just looked at him just dead serious and said, I've been busy. And the cop was like, he didn't know what to do with her. And he said, look, just drive home. I'm not going to write you up for anything, so I'm not even sure what to do. He said, just go home and don't drive the car anymore until you get a driver's license.
Yeah. Did she promptly go and get one?
Well, I think pretty quick after that, we knew that, you know.
6 months later, she was at the DMV.
It's a small town, so, you know, the chances of running into the same cop again were pretty good.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. The one thing I always want to tell people, a cop, a lot of times they'll say, do you know why I pulled you over? Always the answer to that question is no, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because if you say, well, I was speeding a little bit, then it's going to be harder to get out of your ticket later on.
My answer is usually, you probably want to give me an award for being the best driver you've seen all night because I know that I am an exceptional driver.
You yourself are drunk and need a ride home?
Because you were lost and needed directions?
That reminds me, I have a traffic police officer joke. So there was a guy who was driving along, and this is a true story. It happened here in Huntington.
You can't do that with a straight face, can you?
He was driving along by Ritter Park, and he came to a stop sign. He didn't stop. He slowed down a little bit and went straight through it. Well, sure enough, a cop pulls up behind him, pulls him over, and the cop was like, you know why I pulled you over? He's like, no. He goes, well, you went through that stop sign. You ran that stop sign. He goes, well, I slowed down. He said, yeah, but it's a stop sign. He's like, yeah, but I slowed down. He goes, step out of the car, please. So the guy steps out of the car. Police officer says, all right, put your hands up. Guy puts his hands up. Cop pulls out his billy club, his nightstick, starts beating the guy. The guy's like, ah, stop, stop, stop. He's like, do you want me to stop or do you want me to slow down?
Point made.
That didn't really happen.
Are you sure? It sounded real. You told it with such a straight face. I was sure it was a news story, and now I find out you're like the Onion.
Do you know what the Onion is, right?
Yeah, it's a fake newspaper.
It's a satire site.
Right.
Okay. And if you fell for an article or something.
No, well, there was somebody posted an article about Lori Loughlin in reference to our episode there a couple episodes ago. About, or I guess it was our last episode.
Oh, she play guilty to 100 hours of community theater service?
Yeah, she took the plea deal. It was 100, and it was being in community theater. Yeah. And they also added that she had to go attend the poorly attended basement cast parties.
I saw that one was similar to that. She was being named as the new Secretary of Education. She was replacing Davis.
DeVos.
Whatever. So, now, one thing at these traffic tickets and traffic court, things like that, it's very similar to, you still have your constitutional rights. You have the right to confront your accuser. So that's that's why the officer has to show up and present themselves. They can't just write the ticket and then basically you'd be convicted on that. So that's why it has to go forward. Now, one thing when you also have a lot of interesting kind of officer testimony is has to do with like running red lights and things like that, because you can talk a lot about if the cop is there, you can cross-examine them and determine, well, where were you sitting? How could you see where what color the light was when the person was here and there and the other things?
Right.
I had one guy who, he was an engineer, and I don't know if you've ever had to work with engineers before, but they are generally very meticulous and kind of thorough on things. Mm-hmm. And he had drawn out diagrams based on where the officer was sitting, where he was traveling, the time of day, the light coefficient, and the direction of the wind. He had mathematical calculations. I mean, he had all this down as far as to why.
Friction calculations for stopping distances.
I had no idea what he was talking about. I went into court. The officer didn't show up. They dismissed the case. I was like, phew, thank goodness, because I didn't know how I was going to present that. But yeah, I mean, he basically had it all worked out. I mean, it was insane.
Have you ever heard somebody use a defense that they'd say, look, I didn't want to say anything, but this cop had been drinking that gave me this ticket. He was clearly drunk. But the thing is, it was just me and him out there, and I didn't want to start anything, so I didn't say anything, because it's just my word against his. So I'm waiting till I'm in a safe environment in here in the courtroom to say he was drunk, and I think he should admit that, and we just move on and go our separate ways.
Here's a self-serving text message I sent to myself that very night, right after it happened. This cop is drunk.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I remembered that important point.
So that proves it. No, I've never seen that before.
I think I'd try that one.
Now, one thing I have actually argued is, and this was for running a red light too, is that actually the Federal Highway Administration, they set different yellow light intervals based from 3 to 6 seconds based on how long the light is supposed to be yellow. So, for example, if the speed limit is 25 miles per hour, it's supposed to be 3 seconds yellow before it turns red. At 55 miles per hour, it's supposed to be 6 seconds. Mm-hmm. So the light stays yellow longer during certain speed limits there. Have you ever gone through a light where you're like, man, that was a short yellow light?
Oh, there are certain ones, yes. It's like, because you anticipate a certain amount of time that it's going to be yellow. And when they go from green, yellow, red,
right,
just like that, man, that can mess you up big time.
So, I mean, if it comes down to a situation, and you probably wouldn't go to this extent for just your run-of-the-mill traffic ticket, unless this was like a very serious accident where somebody was injured and things like that, and someone died and you have a lot of money on the line and, you know, serious injuries, then you might actually hire an expert to come in and determine, like, well, according to the Federal Highway Administration on Uniform Traffic Control Devices, this light is supposed to be 5 seconds at 45 miles per hour. And I did a determination or calculation on this, and this light was switching at 4.5 seconds. It was a half second too short, which led to this person starting, you know. So you can mm-hmm. you can actually argue those kinds of things and actually get out of tickets that way.
Yeah.
Now, again, not something you do with your run-of-the-mill traffic tickets, but you can kind of argue those types of things to get out. Like I said, you have to be very creative with things like this. You have to really think about the entire situation when you're talking about traffic tickets.
Say, yes, Your Honor, there's supposed to be a 5 second yellow light there when you're going 55 miles an hour, and I was going 55 miles an hour when I went through that light. Well, but it was a 20 mile an hour zone. Nonetheless, I was doing 55 miles an hour. I need a 5 second yellow.
Clearly here it says 55, 6 seconds. I was doing
what the law says.
Now, one interesting case I had a client who was accused of running a stop sign at a new road near like a kind of a brand new shopping center they were just constructing. Like I said, it was basically still under construction, but part of it was open already. Mm-hmm. This was brand new kind of territory. This lady who my client was, she was probably in her 50s. She was kind of a nice normal person, had a nice car, nice job, you know, not a criminal. She was a very respectable person. This mm-hmm. kind of comes into play a little bit later. So she's pulling out of this new shopping center, and she turns onto the main thoroughfare there, and I guess she didn't stop. And a cop pulls her over a little bit farther down the road, and she says, well, why did you pull me over? Well, you didn't stop for that stop sign. And she said, oh, well, I didn't see a stop sign. He's like, there's a stop sign back there. I understand it's a new intersection, all that, but I'm still not going to cut you a break. You went through the stop sign. I'm going to write you a ticket. So she said, okay. So he writes her the ticket. She goes, turns back around and goes back to where she was to see if there was a stop sign there. There's no stop sign. There's just a pole.
Yeah.
Because evidently it was still under construction. They hadn't finished putting up that stop sign, or maybe somebody stole it. Like, we don't know what happened, but she took pictures of it with her cell phone.
Yeah.
There was no sign there. So the day of trial comes, and I had some blown up pictures of it.
Mm-hmm.
And basically I have the cop on the stand. I'm asking about the ticket, you know, where did it take place? And I'm like, oh, it's a new shopping center, right? You know, and mm-hmm. people are still learning the rules there. I was like, he still felt the need to write her a ticket, though? And he was like, yeah, absolutely, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm officer of the law. I was kind of like, okay. And so I showed him the picture. I said, does this look like a picture? And he's like, well, yeah, I guess, but there's no stop sign there. I said, okay. And said, she said there was no stop sign there. What do you think about that? Well, I don't know when this picture was taken, but I would imagine that she probably stole that stop sign so she could win this case. And I'm telling you, I look over at my client, and it's this nicely dressed, you know, middle-aged...
50-some-year-old lady.
Yeah. And I'm like, so your most reasonable conclusion to why there is no stop sign there is that woman stole a stop sign.
Didn't you charge her?
That's what you think? I said, what evidence do you have to possibly prove that? Well, it's not there. And I
just like... That's our point.
And so anyway, he gets off the stand. I have her come up and I ask her, I was like, you know, did you take this picture at the same time? I laid the authentication for it. Is this how it looked? Yes. And there was no stop sign there. And the judge kind of heard all this and she said, well, it's not clear if there was a stop sign there or not. So what I'm going to do, this is a new area. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt and just go ahead and dismiss the case. Didn't really throw that cop under the bus for kind of being a,
mm-hmm. A jerk.
But yeah. So anyway, I won that case, but I always thought that was really interesting. His immediate conclusion was, well, she must've stolen it. Like, really?
Man.
Another thing you can look at too, with speeding tickets, especially, is the radar gun itself. So you want to check when it was last authenticated or calibrated, things like that. Does the officer have proper training on it? How do they even know who they're pointing the gun at? So those are all valid questions. And some of the really good traffic top cops actually come to court with their logbooks. And if one of them comes with his logbook, then, you know, you're probably not going to get him on that one.
Is that his where he keeps track of his morning movements going to the bathroom?
No, no.
Oh.
No. his BM log?
Yeah.
No, this would be a logbook that whenever they recertify their guns and calibrate them, things like that, specifications.
I have wondered about that because when you see them there in the car and they're aiming that gun out and there's three or four cars between you and them.
Yeah.
How can they pick you up and say for sure it's not one of those three or four cars that's ahead of you?
Right. And that's a really good argument especially if they're traveling the other direction. You know, so you're driving the car and you're trying to aim the gun. There's other cars on the highway. How do you even know who it was? The answer is they really don't.
I always remember the one where, you know, I see this a lot when we go down south. You go down to Florida and people will fall in line on 95 and you've got a bunch of the left lane just doing 95 miles an hour, bumper to bumper, mm-hmm. and they're all drafting off the first guy. And so they're just flying down through there. And I guess they figure, I'm in the middle of 12 cars. They're not going to get me, you know, so you just keep going with the pack. And I heard the story where the cop came down and grabs the one that's in the back and pulls him over.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, you were doing 95 miles an hour. And he goes, well, what about those other 11 cars that were ahead of me? You didn't pull them over. And he said, so what difference does that make? He goes, well, if you got me, you should have to get them. And he goes, let me ask you something. He said, have you ever been fishing? And he said, yeah. He said, you ever catch any? He said, sure, I've caught some. He said, did you ever catch them all?
One thing I always hate when my clients come in for speeding tickets is they'll say, well, this cop wrote this ticket. He had me doing 68 and a 55. And I wasn't going that fast. I was like, all right, well, how fast were you going? I was 62, 63. There's no way I was doing 68. I said, well, you're still speeding. Yeah. But I wasn't doing 68. I said, well, I can't very well put you on the stand to say you weren't speeding. Now, can I?
Well, so, but it could lower the points. It could. Because it's based on how much over the speed limit you're going.
It could, but you know, at that point, I say, I think probably what we need to do is we need to try to work this out and get you, if we can cut you a little bit of a break on the ticket and get you a better deal. And that's usually the way that goes down.
I've never even considered going to court.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I never even considered it. I just sent the money in.
Some people do it a lot. Another interesting reason why you might be speeding is if you have put bigger tires on your car or truck, because that'll throw off the calibration. So that might help get you out of a ticket or two or get a little curry some sympathy with the court.
I've noticed when I run my GPS, it shows me doing a different mile per hour than my speedometer does.
Really?
Yeah. My speedometer will show like I'm doing 70 miles an hour, whereas GPS will show I'm doing like 67.
Well, the GPS is probably more accurate, I would guess, because you got to think the last time your speedometer was calibrated was when it came from the factory.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing, too, that people will say about speeding tickets is that even if your speedometer says you're doing 70 and you have a 10-year-old car, well, it's had 10 years to fall out of calibration, whereas the radar gun, well, I just checked the radar last month. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
That's true.
Now, one thing that you can do, too, especially, I know this worked in Florida, not in West Virginia so much, you can plead no contest to a traffic ticket. Say, basically, you know, I don't have any defense to this. And if they accept that, they'll actually not assess any points to your license.
Really?
Yeah. So you can just plead no contest. Usually it comes with a little bit of a higher fine, but you can plead no contest and get out of it.
Well, aren't you really pleading no contest when you send in the check with, or send in the ticket with a check?
No. No, you're pleading guilty.
Wow.
That's a guilty plea.
That's another thing I never considered.
Yeah. So if you can plead no contest to certain states. So,
man, I'm going to start speeding all the time and just challenging all the tickets, and maybe I can get out of them.
Well, the other way, Mary,
and I'll get there faster.
The other way, Mary used to get out of tickets is she'd always say, "Do you know Chris Meadows?
He's my brother.
He's a cop."
I know. He's out a lot.
Yeah, I don't think it works anymore.
No, well, he's not a cop anymore.
That's true. Everybody he was a cop with is probably not a cop anymore.
Yeah, they're all retired or gone.
Now there are some attorneys whose specialty is to actually traffic.
Really?
Strangely enough, yeah, especially in larger metropolitan areas, they have a lot of times they'll do big website and billboard advertisements, and they just go from traffic court to traffic court. They'll have five or six different traffic tickets each one and try to get people out of it. So
I bet a lot of them, though, aren't moving violations, because you get like in New York and you've got all these double parkings and all these other kind of, you're parked on the wrong side when the street cleaner was coming and, you know, all these other things that they got tickets for. And that's probably a lot of stuff really racks up to charges.
Well, I know the ones in Florida were moving violations. They're usually speeding tickets. They'll say something along the lines of no points assessed or your money back. What they're doing basically is they're going in and trying to argue for a no contest plea.
Huh.
So it's kind of their little loophole.
So they don't say you're not going to pay. They just say you're not going to get points.
Right. No points or your money back.
Yeah.
Reckless driving is actually one of the more serious charges you'll see in traffic court, because that's actually a misdemeanor crime. So even though it's a traffic offense, it is a misdemeanor and possibly jailable.
Well, isn't that in the eye of the beholder? A judgment call, if you will? I mean, it's not. There's nothing that you could firm and fast. I mean, unless you're driving down the road sideswiping cars as you go or something.
Well, in some places, speeding over a certain mile per hour is deemed to be reckless.
Right. I always heard in West Virginia it's over 10 miles an hour of the speed limit.
Nah, that's not necessarily true.
Really?
No.
That's what I always heard.
No, because in West Virginia, you have points assessed all the way up to 20.
So it must be over 20 miles over the speed limit.
Well, yeah, 20 miles per hour is 6 points, and reckless is 6 points. So you could be charged, I guess, with both. But you can only be assessed points on one. So they can't... infraction for the same offense, they can't double bang you like that.
Double dip on you.
Yeah, no double dipping.
Even on Tuesday? It's two for Tuesdays.
I know my rights.
Well, I looked up, because the things that I always hear about and the things that I get upset about are things like speed traps.
Yeah.
There were several places that I've lived where there were known speed traps, and you knew that you didn't slow down. I mean, that you didn't violate the speed limit, not by a mile.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times on the interstate, the speed limit's 65, you can do 70 and nobody will bother you. But in certain places, it's not like that. And then around here, since our airports in Huntington and Charleston aren't very good and they're canceling flights all the time and everything, a lot of times we'll fly out of Columbus or Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, you can drive interstate. Columbus, it's all back roads. So we got to go back roads up there. So you're driving along on a country highway, 55 miles an hour. You come around a curve and there's 30 miles an hour. There's a 100-yard unincorporated little township there.
Is that called Hanging Rock?
Well, that's one of them, but they've got a bunch of them on 23. 52 isn't as bad. 23 is bad.
Yeah.
And you've got a bunch of them along through there where you've got to drop from 55 down to 30 or something like that real quick. So I was checking on that about speed traps, if there were any laws pertaining to that. And it said that there are laws. It says one of the nation's most notorious speed trap towns is on the lawmakers' radar. It said that small towns often use money from speeding tickets to help pay their bills, and the AAA believes some of these citations are a form of policing for profit. Federal legislation has been proposed to stop towns from profiting from speed traps, but it faces fierce opposition from municipalities. There's one two-mile stretch of Interstate 295 in Hopewell, Virginia, that is dubbed the Million Dollar Mile. For years, Hopewell has used the sliver of highway that runs not through but along the town's border as its personal cash register, ringing up over $1 million a year by writing more than 1,000 tickets per month.
Oh, my gosh.
Last year, Hopewell collected $1.8 million from tickets. The AAA said it's one of the worst speed traps in the nation, despite the fact that traffic experts say there are no safety concerns along that stretch of I-295. Well, no wonder.
Yeah.
Which came first? You know, AAA Mid-Atlantic spokesman John Townsend said the majority of any town's budget should not come from speed trap fines. And I agree with that. I mean, if you set your city budget and you say, okay, let's see, we're going to get 60% of our revenue from speeding tickets. Well, now you've just gone out and deliberately looked for people doing this to try to get revenue. If you look at your budget and say, okay, how much of our budget came from speeding tickets mm-hmm. over the last 10 years? And you say, well, it was an average of about 6%. Okay, now you figure 6% of your budget, because that's from historical data, not a target that you're going out right. and get
not,
people.
Not a quota.
Yeah, because if you have that and people are expected to get so much, they're going to start fudging a little bit to get to where they need to be.
One area I always remember driving between Jacksonville and Gainesville, Florida, was Waldo, Florida. And I think it was like ranked as one of the worst speed traps by AAA for some years.
It was.
And it actually, I think the whole town was basically just the police force, and half of their revenue came from speeding tickets.
It says Waldo, Florida is just 2 square miles, and Highway 301 runs right through the village, but the highway speed limit changed 6 times, enabling police to write thousands of tickets a year. The AAA put up a billboard warning drivers. The AAA thought it was so bad, yeah. They went out and put up a billboard warning people.
Well, I think the state came in and actually forced them to disband. they said the city doesn't exist anymore, the police force.
Well, they did that with Jefferson up here just before you get to Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
That they were doing the same thing on Route 60, and they forced them to disband.
Yeah.
Said there's another one, Stringtown, Oklahoma, population 400. 76% of the town's 2013 budget came from traffic tickets.
Good Lord.
A state investigation found excessive speed trapping, and the police department was disbanded last year. So, yeah, that they do have laws, and they do recognize that as being a problem. It said speed traps prompted 7 states, including Florida and Oklahoma, to impose limits on the percentage of revenue a municipality can keep from traffic citations. Missouri and Virginia added laws the following year. It said Virginia State Senator Bill Carrico, a retired state trooper, sponsored a state budget amendment that took effect in July because of complaints about Hopewell's speed enforcement. It caps the revenue for Virginia towns like Hopewell at 30%. They still can get up to 30% of their budget.
That's pretty high.
But what it says is, it doesn't say you have to quit giving tickets once you get to that number. It goes to the state.
Right, so you don't have an incentive to do it.
Yeah, yeah, you lose the money, it goes to the state. So if you want to keep doing it, that's fine. We'll thank you for the extra donation.
I kind of like that.
But the city that was denoted as the absolute worst speed trap is the town, the tiny Texas town of Esteline, which has a reputation as one of the most, if not the most, prodigious speed trap town in the country. This North Texas community, population 143, employs one police officer who manages to generate 90% of the town's gross revenues by targeting passing motorists for predatory speed enforcement and civil forfeitures. Said that here's where they got in trouble, and it kind of fell apart on them. Said that the police officer Jason Fry pulled over a Laura Dutton for speeding. Claiming he smelled marijuana, Fry searched Dutton's vehicle and found $31,000 in cash, but no marijuana. Dutton had received the money legally, but Fry grabbed the cash and arrested Dutton for money laundering. The charges were dropped after 2 months, and Dutton got most of her money back. She filed a federal lawsuit against Esteline, claiming the town subsisted by preying on motorists. A federal judge agreed there was enough evidence to try the case. The town then quickly settled with Dutton for $77,500. So,
wow.
That's, that. I mean, there's two things that I'm against is the civil forfeiture and the speed traps.
Policing there. For profit.
Yeah. Yeah. I that, like I said before, I had that angry email that I sent to our local news agency when the police forces were complaining about that Supreme Court ruling.
Right.
That was going to take away their budget. And then I wanted to look at states, what's considered the worst speed trap, because living near Ohio, I always figured Ohio was right up there at the top.
Yeah, I mean, the highway patrol, they're always sitting on 23 pulling people over.
Yeah, I drive right on the speed limit through there. I never go a mile over the speed limit. I don't even give them the, you know, the 5 mile an hour that you think that they sandbag for you. I don't even give them that. You know, I go right at it. But when I looked through and examined it, actually, the Ohio was number 15 out of, you know, is ranked number 15. And it said the worst area in Ohio is Cleveland Heights. And it said that the most notorious speed trap is Highway 49 through River Styx. That's the name of it, Styx, Styx.
Well, you gotta pass there before you can get to the afterlife.
It says there's actually a place called River Styx, and it's home to the worst speed trap in Ohio. Part of me actually wants to get a ticket there just so I can say I got pulled over on the highway to hell. So that's number 15. Well, here's what surprised me. West Virginia is actually number 9.
That does surprise me because there's not a lot of traffic tickets here written, I don't think.
No, I don't. I mean, I do know of some areas that are known as speed traps in West Virginia.
Yeah.
But not, it's not the majority. But yet they rank number 9. The most notorious area here is Route 39 and Route 60 at Golly Bridge.
Oh yeah,
I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yep, so that's probably just the towns there.
Yeah, the Golly Bridge is one of those places that sort of extends its city boundaries in the direction of the highway, and you can take it as read that you won't get a warning sign. You won't get a warning ticket there.
Yeah,
they will give it to you.
That's a pretty area though.
Now, what do you think is the number one speed trap state in the nation?
Well, I did a little bit of research for this, so oh. I'm going to guess Vermont.
We would be correct. He said that the worst speed trap city is Burlington. I don't know where that is. I'm not familiar with Vermont, but they said that it's Highway 12 near Woodstock. Huh. Said, I'll readily grant that Vermont isn't a huge state, and that fact might skew the data and make its numbers jump off the page, which they most certainly do. As the study points out, Vermont gets its fair share of attention for various speed-related crackdowns, though users repeatedly called out one specific stretch of I-89 describing an officer parked under a tree nabbing drivers going over 95 miles per hour. Of course, doing 95 miles per hour near trees isn't the smartest move, but if you're busted, then Vermont's super troopers are known to be susceptible to the horny German approach. I don't even know what that means.
Well, basically, have you ever heard of the movie called Super Troopers?
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't remember horny Germans.
It was set in Vermont.
Oh, okay.
So they were the state highway troopers. They were state troopers in Vermont. Now, that same kind of comedy group of people, Broken Lizard, they also produced a movie called Beer Fest. Did you see
Beer Fest? I've seen Beer Fest, yeah.
Okay. Well, so basically, that's a double-layered comment there. It's talking about Beer Fest by also talking Super about Troopers. Super Troopers.
I got you.
It's a multi-layered joke there.
All right. Well, that would make sense. So anyway, those were the ones that like Ohio and West Virginia that I was curious about, and Vermont's number one. Another one that surprised me though, Florida. When I've been down through Florida, people fly through Florida. Yeah. Everywhere, everybody's flying. Florida was ranked number 23. That really surprised me. I thought they'd be right down to the bottom. But they said that the worst one there is in Sarasota, I-95 at Northwest 40 Boca Raton. And they said that they have a lot of them there. It said that Florida has some of the worst speed trap cities in the country, with Boca Raton, Pensacola, Melbourne, and Ormond Beach all in the top 20.
I used to live in Melbourne.
Yeah. I remember that. I visited you there.
You did. Did you get a ticket while you were there?
No, I didn't get a ticket.
Good.
Yeah, I was driving. We rented a car. I was going to say, I didn't know if I was driving, but we did. We rented a car. Now, Virginia always thought of as a bad one. That was the one where, when I was a little kid, and my brother and I were traveling with my mom, and we were driving through Virginia, and they pulled her over. And back in those days, if you were from out of state, the state trooper took you to a magistrate.
Yeah.
They didn't give you a ticket. They took you to a magistrate, and you had to pay the fine right there to the magistrate. And here was a young lady with two small children that was trying to go on about a 10-hour trip, and they tied us up for like 2 or 3 hours getting this accomplished, which meant, you know, that's putting us on the road in the dark, and, you know, if anything broke down or something, jeopardizing us, basically. I mean, in this day and age, we'd probably have a lawsuit.
Probably.
In that day and age, all you could do is complain. My mother wrote a letter to the governor, because, of course, she was in the legislature in West Virginia, and she said, this was terrible, this was outrageous that you all treated me this way. I'm not going to pay this ticket, and I think it's awful that you treated me that way. And the governor wrote her back and said, that's fine, Delegate Smurl. If you don't want to pay your ticket, just be sure not to ever drive through the state of Virginia again, because our troopers will be ready to pick you up and arrest you. So she never drove through Virginia again.
I don't blame her.
But Virginia is number 20, and Blacksburg is where they say that the biggest one is there. And who do you think is last?
Alaska?
You are correct. Alaska is number 51, because D.C.'s in there.
Ah.
So it's number 51. So said
I didn't actually remember that. I was just thinking that because it's so remote.
Yeah. So that's one with the least amount of speed traps in there. But it was interesting to note that three of the top five are in the Northeast.
Yeah.
You know, in addition to Vermont, you got New Hampshire and Delaware. So, in the Northeast, you better mind your P's and Q's there when you're driving.
Well, that's going to bring us to...
Legal Breeze.
So Legal Breeze is a part of the show where we go over different legal terms. And I have a couple questions for Tommy. See if he remembers. So, first of all, I pulled you over. Do you know why?
I have absolutely no idea, because I just recently won an award as the world's best driver. So I can only assume that you're lost, officer, and need directions as to where to go. And I'm being a responsible citizen. I have the answer for you.
Can you step out of the car, please? What is the worst traffic ticket to get?
The worst traffic ticket to get.
What is the most points in West Virginia, the worst traffic ticket to get?
Oh, that would be fleeing a police officer.
That's right. And how many points is that?
It's like 8.
You're right on. You're spot on. And
I have no experience with that.
What should you do if you are charged with running a yellow light?
You should time that yellow light and see if it meets specific guidelines as to how long it should be yellow.
I think you're thinking like a traffic lawyer now.
That's right.
Well, that's going to do it. You got 100%.
Well, thank you. And you know, that yellow light thing made me think. You know, I've talked a few times, I think, on here about how Russian drivers must be the worst drivers in the world, because you have all those dash cam videos of these crashes with all these Russian wrecks everywhere and these people driving like maniacs.
Yeah.
And I finally figured out, I couldn't understand why all these wrecks were happening at these intersections with lights. I finally got an angle on one of these dash cams that gave me some insight into what the problem is.
What's that?
They have a yellow light when the light is turning from red to green. They have a yellow light in between.
Really?
So when it goes to yellow, people are starting to drive. Well, you've got the other idiots coming the other direction that are also, a yellow light means speed up. In Russia, apparently, it doesn't mean look out. It means speed up and go as fast as you can. And they also, they have some play in it, because they think it has to be a little more red than just red.
Yeah.
So by their mind, not only do you have a yellow light when you're trying to beat the light, you've got a little bit of red, too. So these guys are coming real late. These guys are anticipating, oh, look, it's getting ready to turn yellow, and I'm going. So that's why you have so many wrecks at the intersection. They need to take that yellow light out of the red.
That wasn't red. It was only kind of more like a burnt umber.
A burnt umber. That's what they looked like after the wreck was burnt umber.
Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Dr. Lawyer Indian Chief.
We're proud to be coming to you almost live from Smurl Studios, high atop Three Last Mountain.
And we want to thank Audio Boom for being a part of their network.
And we also want to thank the McElroy Stable Podcast for helping give us our start. Their podcasts include Bim Bam, Sawbones, Still Buffering, and many other fine podcasts.
If you have the chance, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you like us. And if you didn't, don't bother.
You're not supposed to say that.
You're going to edit that out there, aren't you?
Why? You never did.
Thanks for listening. This has been Court Appointed. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.